Welcome to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org. This morning, and we would like to honor him with a gift as he comes. Dr. Sukina, if you would come. Dr. Sukina is a founder and a minister of an Indigenous Peoples International Ministry. And not only that, but family to us. He was welcomed originally by my father. He, in fact, taught me my favorite joke, which is St. Arbucks. I still remember that one. That's one of my favorite ones. I use it all the time. Yes, it's the only church he's a member of, he says. St. Arbucks, yes. But anyways, I've always loved that joke, and I've always loved Dr. Sukina, and I'd like to honor him today with my personal copy of the Delitzsch Hebrew Gospels that was given to me by the director of First Fruits of Zion. Have you looked at this book yet? It's a beautiful book. He says, this is for you, Ima. Your wife. And this is for my wife. Yeah, so this is for my mommy and this is for my wife. Oh, thank you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm going to ask for us to just join in prayer as we welcome Dr. Sukina. And did you turn it on? Okay, he's on the green one, whatever that means to sound people somewhere. Okay. Father, we thank you for Dr. Sukina, and we pray that you would pour out your spirit on him and that your words would be in his mouth. We love him, and we pray once again your love over him and covering him and blessings upon him and his ministry. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
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 Good morning. It's a real joy to be with you again, and I think it's been a couple of years since I've been here now. That's almost 600 meetings ago. A lot of miles. And people ask me, what do you do? I say, I spend most of my time balding. Yes. Day and night. I just get more bald. And it's not very expensive. I get to travel to all these different groups, though, and one of the groups I've been to everybody except the snake handlers, and I've already been bit by a copperhead, so I don't even need to go there. But there's some groups that really see opportunities differently than other groups. And so I was with some Pentecostals in a meeting, and I told them I needed prayer for my hearing. And you know, when you say you need prayer for hearing to a bunch of Pentecostals, that's like saying sick 'em to a dog. They go into action, you know? And after about 15, 20 minutes of all that they do, which is wonderful, one of them had the nerve to say, how's your hearing? And I said, oh, it isn't till next week. So be careful what you ask for prayer for, depending on the group you're with, you know? They may interpret it a little differently than other groups. We have some people here from Kodiak, Alaska. Give us a wave. Kodiak, Alaska. Of all the days to be visiting is when another Alaskimo is here. And Kodiak is an island out southwest of Anchorage, if you can kind of visualize Alaska there. I went there one time because they reportedly had a really famous eye doctor, and it turned out to be an optical illusion. Some of you get that on the way home. Now, I just finished a book called His Glorious Names. Took 2 years to write. 365 names of Yod Heh Vav Heh, modern Hebrew, ancient Paleo Hebrew, And then I have a program that turns every Hebrew letter into the original musical note. So you can sing all of his names. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I'm so excited because I think one of the things that's going to happen in the end days is his names are going to be restored into the earth. And it's sad to me that we have reduced him, shall I say, or minimized him to God and Lord when he has all these wonderful, powerful, glorious names that are functional. They're not just identifiers. We can live and move and have our being in these names. It isn't just Rophe for healing. It's Rophe the healer. We can have our being in Rophe. So check it out. There's a lot of things on the table that you can't live without. Some of you can't buy and sell today. I understand that. I'm going to trust you that you can save shipping and take what you need today and send us the money later. I trust you. You're the body of Messiah. If you steal it, you're not stealing from me. And according to the brother, you're going to get a skin disease. You're going to itch till you pay. But maybe somebody can help me out. It would probably be good comfort for my wife if I had your name and address and how much you took. But trust me, I really want you to have the items. And I don't want you to have to pay shipping. And I don't want to have to pack it and bubble wrap and ship it to you. That's just more work for all of us. So I trust you with that. Raquel, where are you? There she is. This is yours. And if there's any corrections to be made, go ahead and make them and send them back to me. I wonder how long that letter will be. Raquel, if there's a lot of mistakes, it's because I did not take any performance-enhancing drugs. Yeah. Thank you. I actually painted the menorah on the front of that. All right, Carol and I are going to see if we can... Is it Carol or Linda?
Linda.
Linda. Linda and I heard Carol and Linda up here, and then I got confused. Are going to see if we're... Is that it?
Go ahead and get
it. Oh. Oh.
Yay.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So you've heard this old native saying that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, right? And if you teach him how to fish, in 6 weeks, he'll be an alcoholic. Oh, that's not how it goes. If you teach him how to fish, you'll feed him for the rest of his life, right? Well, the Inuit of Alaska, we have a corollary to that, and it goes like this. If you light a fire, you can heat a man for a day, all right? If you light the man on fire, you heat him for the rest of his life. Oh, yeah. Some of you get that on the way home. Some of you are going to have a really exciting trip on the way home. Things will dawn on you just suddenly. Oh, I kind of like it when I'm going along teaching and all of a sudden somebody gets a joke and they just burst into laughter. And I realize, oh, they just caught it. It's good. Well, we're going to do a presentation this morning on John 10, Yohanan 10. Verses 1 through 10, very quick this morning, not taking a long time. I really love the Torah reading. I think there's so many built-in pictures into this whole text. I love the Hebrew language because I'm an artist, and so I love everything that's visual. And I look at this, even the cleansing process, the difference between Esau and Yaakov, Jacob. Esau, who was a hairy man, Yaakov, who was a bald man or smooth man, that even part of the cleansing process is to identify with Jacob instead of Esau. Shave off all your hair.
Yeah.
As part of the healing process. I remember a couple years ago, since I was here, I shaved off all the hair on my head because of this scripture in Isaiah that talked about that in the end days he's going to have, he's going to shave the heads and the arms and the legs of the men. And of course, the leaders and the elders and the young men. And it's about this idea that he's not going to have Asaphs. And so I did it literally for myself, just to say to myself for a season, I'm going to be a son of Yaakov. I'm not going to be an Asaph. And so it's been growing back very slowly since, not as much as I'd like, but anyway, it got the job done. So anyway, that's wonderful for that text. Okay, here we go. IMI is our ministry. There's my beloved. There's my beautiful wife, Kwamenik, too. And I don't know if we can shut off these lights, maybe. This would show up just a little touch more, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, there you go. Thanks for praying for Kwamenik. For those that don't know, my wife has been very ill and with very rare leukemia and MS and is pretty much unable to travel now except for certain kinds of medical treatments, but she's in great spirits. In fact, 6 of our granddaughters are coming today, yay, for a week to bless her and cheer up her heart and, of course, enjoy Grandpa's swimming pool. They made sure 2 weeks ago that I turned it on, got it heated before they got here. So we do a series of teachings. I teach multiculturalism for the U.S. Center for World Missions in Pasadena, but I also travel around and teach Hebraic understanding. And, you know, as you can tell, my mission field is the church, generally. I'm not all that often in Hebraic groups or Messianic groups, even. They don't know me, and, you know, most people don't know me. I'm from Alaska, so the word isn't around. There's a short Inuit man who can share stuff with you. So I'm usually busy on Sundays or weeknights sharing these kinds of things. And so we have these presentations that we call Hebraic Understanding Series to give people pictures from the scriptures and to turn their thinking, Malachi 4 says, back to the Avot, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this message this morning, a short message, is going to be on John 10, verses 1 through 10, about the shepherding process. And he says, truly I say to you, he who does not enter through the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up by another way, that one is a thief and a robber. Now, in those days, when they would come to town, they would have a little sheep pen like this. This one happens to be made out of rock because I drew it that way. Sometimes it was a pen of thorn bushes. The Hebrew word coats there is the word for the kings of the earth. Sometimes we, the sheep, feel like we're penned in by the kings of the earth. He'll take care of that in a little while. But here you have some sheep, and he says that the ones who don't go through the door are thieves and robbers. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So I use this John 10 illustration to talk about protocol, about treating people correctly, finding out who gatekeepers are, who are the doorkeepers. And, of course, as a First Nations person, I would say here in America, the First Nations people of this land hold authority as the gatekeepers or the doorkeepers to the land. So if you don't go through them, Yeshua calls you a thief and a robber. The doorkeeper opens for him. The sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, when they would come to town, they would bring their little flocks into these pens, and they would hire, literally a hireling, and they'd go into town to Walmart to get all their stuff, you know. In my case, this time of the year, it's Benadryl. Anybody else doing the whole allergy thing? Oh, man, I don't even dare touch my eyes this morning. So I was kind of giving that burden up this morning, Sherry, was my allergies. It's like, come on. There's got to be some kind of healing for that in the name of Yeshua, you know? I mean, I don't have to suffer every year with that stuff, do I? So I gave that burden up to him this morning. And so they would hire this guy, and the guy would be the door and the doorkeeper, because he would just place himself in the opening, and the wolves and bears couldn't get in. And if you were going to steal sheep, you had to go over the wall, because if you came to where he was, he'd take that staff and conk you in the head, you know. And when he has brought out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And they shall by no means follow a stranger, but they shall flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And so these shepherds had little flocks, and so they would name them, you know, and then when they would come back in the morning, they would start calling the names of their sheep, and the sheep would start separating themselves from other sheep and come over by where the gatekeeper was. And so he had these sheep, and it was Bill and Nancy and Pete. No, they were Hebrew. Bill, Nancy, Pete. And they'd get excited because their shepherd was coming. The other sheep, man, they'd go hide because, boy, that's not a voice we're familiar with. We don't know that voice. Yeshua said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not hear them. In other words, the voice of thieves and robbers was not familiar to them. It didn't sound right. It wasn't the proper protocol. People who steal stuff are not following protocol. So whatever their voice sounds like, it doesn't sound correct. I'm going to take this. This is mine. I get to have it. I get to move my neighbor's boundary mark because I want this land. I'm going to take it. If you hear people saying things like, "I'm going to take something," and it doesn't belong to them, don't be listening to that voice. Stay with those who are honorable people, trustworthy people, righteous people. Sorry, I'm standing in front of you guys. I just realized that now. "I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And of course, he's referring to some religious leaders who, after the captivity, had stolen the ministry of the Levitical priesthood and replaced it with a religious system. And that religious system came against Yeshua while he was on earth. But he says, "You're thieves and robbers. You've stolen whatever ministry you have. You took it from someone else. It was not your calling. It was not your gifting." But he said, "My sheep, they don't listen to that voice. They don't hear that voice." The thief, now here's a verse taken out of context most of the time. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might possess life and that they might possess it beyond measure. I am the good shepherd." This passage does not mention Hasatan, devils, demons. And that's usually what it's referred to, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. No, this passage is talking about people who won't go through gates and gatekeepers. Those people end up stealing and killing and destroying. I remember when I was asked to speak at an Athabascan village in Alaska, and I told him, I can't accept your invitation to speak until I talk to your chief. Why? Because the chief is the gatekeeper. Happened to be Peter John at the time. He was 93. He'd been a chief since he was 28. He was the grand chief of the Athabascan nation. And I made it a protocol appointment with him, a ceremony. And I went and went through the protocol. There were questions that were asked. There had to be correct answers given. And in the end, he gave me the blessing and welcomed me onto their land and promised me his protection. That's what a doorkeeper, a gatekeeper can do for you. They can open the gate for you that you can't open for yourself. When we went to Israel in 1999, 96 of us, the second day we went to the Knesset and protocoled Avram Berg, who was the head of the Knesset at that time. And he opened Israel to us. Why? Because when you go through the gatekeepers, they open the gate for you. You don't have to steal anything. You don't have to take anything. You don't have to steal the gatekeeper's authority. That's what happened on this land to our chiefs, to our native chiefs. Their authority was stolen. And the land ended up being stolen. And many of us killed in the name of Jesus. And our cultures were destroyed. And that happened to many of you all as well. Because people didn't follow protocol. They didn't go through gates and gatekeepers. Watch this come up. Did you see the two words there? Let me show you again. It's two words. I drew this back in the 1970s when I was a graphic artist. And you'll see two words as this comes up towards you. Watch it. Life and death. I have come that they might possess life. Some of you want to see it again. Okay. We got plenty of time. It's Shabbat. And we're going to live in eternity already. So, you know. Life. Life beyond measure. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Where are you? Now, I'm going to take you to a scripture. Linda read from Luke about Johannan the Immerser, John the Baptist. And I want to share this scripture with you because it relates to these pictures of the sheep pen. And this is a verse that has been used by many people to justify various kinds of reactions to government, reactions to other people, spiritual warfare, that kind of thing, all right? From the days of Johannan the Immerser till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So I want you to see this and see the pictures that come from it. Comes from that Hebrew word hamas. I don't know why my thing printed a J there. Shouldn't have. In Obadiah, verse 10, he's speaking about Edom and Jacob, and he says to Esau and Edom, because you practice Hamath against your brother Jacob, I will cover you with shame and cut you off from the land. Isn't that interesting that the government of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip today is named Hamas? Violence or uprising. You know, some of us don't practice violence against our brothers physically, but we do it up here. We don't wish them well. We don't bless them. And we need to change that behavior. Don't practice violence against your brother. Probably not against anyone, actually, since we don't know how to control it very well. In Paleo Hebrew, the het, mem, and a samek, a wall, a massive hate. Hamas is to wall in massive hatred. In other words, I'm not going to be delivered of it. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold this in. And that's the proclamation Esau made in Genesis, Bereshit 27. When our father dies, I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. And he never took that proclamation back. And all the generations since then, it has increased exponentially. We're going to kill our brother Israel. We're going to kill our brother Israel. We're going to kill our brother Israel. And it just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. Why? Because they walled it in. You need to let him break through, some of you. Some of those things in your heart. I had to do it as a Native American man who was kept from age 18 months till 7 years in a Native American residential school. And if you don't know that, look up the history. 150,000 of us went into them. 57,000 died in them. Everyone was abused. Everyone. And this is all run by the church. Every one of them run by the church. As far as I know, in the residential school that I was in, I am the only known believer amongst them. Why? Because if you offend the little ones, the chance of them recovering is pretty much nil. And probably I'm a believer because he always has a remnant. He always has a remnant, right? But for all those years until I met Kwamenik and married Kwamenik, who's a Christian therapist, and she figured out how to get me to talk in my sleep. Night after night after night, in a loving way, she would begin to break through that massive wall of hatred that was stored up inside of my soul against the abusers. And just begin to strip away the layers and layers and layers of anger and shame and violence so that I could be free of that and not to have to keep this Hamas, this Gaza Strip in my own heart. When our father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. Think of that. Here's what this verse is referring to. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The good shepherd would begin to call his sheep by name, Hamel, Hanancy, Pete, as he was approaching sheepfold. Because the sheep knew their shepherd's voice and desired to be with him more than anything else, they would become violent and break forth from the fold to get to their shepherd. Nothing or no one could stop them. If it was thorns, they'd break through. They would risk getting all scratched up and beaten up. I just helped Kwamenik 2 weeks ago plant some new roses. Boy, there's a tricky thing. Some of those rose bushes are actually out to get you. They'll reach right across and get you. And I have some scars in my arms to prove it. Thorn bushes, but they would break through those thickets. They would break through those, push them rocks over because their shepherd was coming. Yeah. So let me ask you this morning as we close this time. Do you know your shepherd's voice? Now, it's interesting to me in the time in history that we're in, it kind of parallels something that happened in ancient history, and that is for a long time, the only thing that believers had was his voice.
for a long time. And then came texting. Right?
Yeah.
And as soon as we got texting, Yodevav had to raise up Raquel's so they could help us with the texting. But the whole purpose of the text was to make sure we didn't lose the voice. And it didn't take too long and we lost the voice, and now we started to argue amongst ourselves about the text. What's the most correct word? What's the most correct inflection? What's the most correct doctrine? What's the most... And we go back and forth and back and forth. And when I went to seminary, I went to a good seminary. But I can tell you honestly, I know there were men there who taught the scriptures with excellence that had never heard his voice. And if you ask them to their faces, have you ever heard his voice? They would say, what do you mean? And he doesn't say, my sheep know my text. Now, I'm not against the text. You hear what I'm saying? I'm for the text. But I'm especially for it if it leads you to understand and know his voice. This is how he speaks. This is the tempo of his voice. This is the sound, the timbre of his voice. So that when the shepherd says your name, you go, I got to get out of this and I got to get to him. Or nothing's going to hold me back. Yeah. Now we're all caught up into texting, but there's coming another day. It won't be that long, folks, and I'm not a prophet of doom, but we're going to have some kind of electrical thing happen in the earth, probably some kind of sunspot deal, and it's going to knock out all of our communication. Your car won't start. Your cell phone won't light up. None of that kind of stuff. And most of our...
I'm serious.
Oh, you... Thank God for those guys that have those 54 Chevy pickups. They'll be able to start. The rest of us will all be looking at nothing. And the young people are going to go crazy because they can't live without this thing. You're going to go crazy. What am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go back to the voice. A little personal testimony, and that won't take long. When I met Kwamenik, Yahweh spoke to me and said, this is your life partner. You're going to be close, it's going to be a quick work, and she needs to pray, is what he said. So I told her.
We hear your voice.
Oh! My gosh, you stayed. Well, let me just finish the questions. How much do you long to be at his side? Are your insides in turmoil just to be near him? Some of us can remember that when we fell in love. You know? We were dating. We just couldn't even wait to get to the house, you know? Wow. Our insides were in turmoil. And for most of us guys, when we pop that question... Boy, our insides were in turmoil. What if she says no? What's my options? Do I smile? Do I cry? Am I brave? What do I do? What do I do? But Kwamenik and I had never even had dinner together. We just barely met each other. And I had to tell her, listen, you're supposed to be my wife. How's that for an assignment? And I was like, my insides were in turmoil. It was like, man, she's going to think I am absolutely nuts. And that was her basic first reaction. This guy is absolutely bonkers. Who tells a woman that? You've never even talked. And I said, well, I just heard his voice, and I'm not this super spiritual guy that hears it very often, so when I do hear it, it's real. So I'm just telling you what he said. I'm going to go back to Alaska and worship and call you to my side. you get with your people and pray, let me know. I knew what I had heard. I didn't care if it took 20 years. That wasn't the issue. When I had heard his voice, that was settled. I wasn't going to go out, go to meetings looking for my next spouse. You know, oh, I wonder if it's you or you or you. No, I wasn't going to live that way. He had picked out someone for me, and that was going to be good. After 2 weeks, she called me, and she said it was an interesting thing that he spoke to her. He literally called me an opportunity. He said, you don't have to marry this man, but don't miss this opportunity. Wow, of all the things I've been called in my life, many of them good things, I had never before been called an opportunity. What a blessing. Yeah, man, that sets a man up, woman. Women, listen to me. That sets a man up. When you call your man an opportunity, he's like, he gets about a foot taller and big, and he's like, man, I am the man. And so we just talked to each other on the phone for a month before I flew to Nashville to meet her. And she tells people, she tells it more funny than I do, but she tells people, I fell in love with his voice before I fell in love with him. And I go, isn't that what this is about? My sheep know my voice. And we haven't seen him yet. We don't know how tall he is. We don't know his favorite color. We don't even know his favorite food, although he had some issues with figs. Not so much into the figs. He liked the salmon, or I guess it was tilapia, there in the Sea of Galilee. He'd have loved our salmon in Alaska because he made them. He likes them smoked. What do you think hell was made for? That's to keep all our stuff smoked for eternity. Yeah, we don't know his form, do we? But we can know his voice. And the world is starting to hem us in. The sheepfold, the sheep pen is getting smaller and smaller. The politics, the economics, the emotional things, the relational things, the violence is starting to creep in on us. And that's all right. But I hope he stirs you up on the inside so that when his trumpet sounds, you break forth out of that pen, whether it be thorns or rocks, whatever the pen is made of, even if it's religion. And I think we, in this Hebraic movement, we have a tendency to think now that religion is beyond us. Hey, don't get cocky. Don't get arrogant. It can start to hem us in too. And we need to break through that barrier and get to our shepherd, get to our lover, get to our friend. Linda, is that the last one? I don't know. Oh, I guess I'm going to show you something that'll be on the DVDs. We have to go through all this. Blessings and shalom. Isn't technology wonderful? I used to have only an overhead projector and a stick. That was a native laser pointer. My cane. I point, you know. Nowadays we have all these things. Look at this thing. It's hard to use as a cane though. It's just so short. So anyway, that's the end of the deal. I leave it to you, Linda. Thank you for helping me. So let me just say this. It's always a joy to be with you here. And I know that depending, it doesn't matter how many times or how far between my visits are to you. I know some of you pray for us often and remember us, and I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I think that the remnant is being called forth all over the land, all right? But it's making the presentation of the truth more difficult. There's more resistance. There's more anti-Semitism. There's more anti-nativism, if I can put it that way. And so when they have a native man come and share Hebrew scriptures, that's like getting slapped on both cheeks, poked in both eyes. So we just need your prayers, your continual prayers, that we'll just stay faithful and true. It doesn't matter. It isn't trying to get people to agree with us or to convert or anything. That we'll stay true to the truth. And he'll call forth out of that his remnant and his body. And Kuyana, in my language, Kuyana Lapak, thank you very much. Teku Sila, thank you, Creator. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba, for our time this morning. So I leave you with this. Apostle John came back to earth, landed in Vatican City. They're standing there looking at these beautiful buildings. And Peter says, what is the name of this place? Person says, this is St. Peter's. He said, St. Peter's? You mean they named this after me? John, what building did they name after you?
Can you stay here for a minute?
Sure.
Noel and Stephen, will you come? Let's pray.
I don't know how this works. I can't see.
All your jokes, because I know you say jokes on your way home. We are in a moment going to take an offering for Dr. Sukina's ministry, and I do want to encourage you, if you feel uncomfortable purchasing things on Shabbat, please take Dr. Sukina at his word, and you can take some of the things today, and you can send him some payment. Or if you feel comfortable purchasing things on Shabbat, that's okay too. That's an option. That's between you and the Holy Spirit of the living God. And we do need to continue to pray for Dr. Sukina and for Kwame Nakin, and I'm just going to ask you to join me right now, that we would hear your voice, Shepherd, the voice of your prayer over them, and join your voice. That your delight and your love would just be poured out over Kwame Nakin, God, and Sukina, that the sweetness of having your eyes on them, Father, would be abundant in their life, that they would know your face, that they would see you face to face. And yes, Father, in these days, that they would so clearly hear your voice, and know your will, and know which way to go, and know where to step, and even know where to speak, God. And we pray that you would open the doors that you have in mind, God. Provide the opportunities that you have in mind. Speak clearly to our brother. Love. That's what I keep hearing. Love. So we're going to take an offering right now for Dr. Sukina. If you have a check, you want to give him a gift. Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, here. Do you want to speak to the mic?
Yeah.
Oh, Rachel has a gift for you.
I have a gift for you. And the gift is the scroll of the Word of God right here. And consider it just like musical notation. When you open it, you have to hear the music.
Yes.
And the Word of God really has his voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. If you make checks out today, you can make them out to Beth Yeshua, and then we can just write them one check. I'm assuming that that's okay. Is that all right for us to do that? If that's okay with you, Sukina?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think we'll conclude today with the Aaronic benediction. So after we've had this opportunity to give, I'm going to ask you to stand and just kind of gather with your families, please, and get close to one another. Maybe we can get the little people and bring volume back into our lives. So if you would stand, please. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Where's Smoot?
He's coming with Mommy.
Hey, Smooter.
Smooter.
Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'nav alecha v'ichunecha. Yisa. Adonai p'nav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You may be seated. Community coordinators, any events that we should be aware of, that we should announce?
Women need to be aware of the third Shabbat. So that's going to be, Carol, do you want to speak about it?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because I don't know. I mean,
it's next weekend. It's at Yulia's house from 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
You got it.
Done.
Yeah.
All right. And then I think that's about it as far as announcements.
I just want to announce that this coming Monday night, for those of you who come out for dance, we will not be having dance because I'll be out of town. We will reconvene the following Monday night, 7 o'clock here.
All right. And then I want to say that if you're interested in taking Messy 101, which is everything you ever wanted to know, or maybe every question you ever wanted to ask about Messianic Judaism as a movement, historically, theologically, and then also what our congregation has as a specific role within this movement. May is going to be our last Messy 101 classes for a while. It's a month long, and it's basically 4 Monday nights in a row. And we still have to finish our last session, huh, with Richard. I saw him back there. Maybe we should just all hang out today. Anyways, in those 4 weeks, we cover a lot of stuff. It's free, and I give you lots of different materials. But if you're interested in that, you do need to sign up. You can send an email to my email.
Welcome to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org.